I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. God, our help and our hope, as we journey with hungry Israelites, we too are hungry. Hungry for a word from you, hungry for hope. Give us open ears and minds and hearts, listening for that hope. Amen. Bread and wine, W-I-N-E, an important combination in the story of our faith that we are reminded of every time we share communion. Bread and wine, W-H-I-N-E, another combination in the story of our faith, a little play on words that perfectly summarizes and fits today's passage from the book of Exodus. We've been with the Israelites for some time now, from their enslaved suffering at the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt, to their fleeing and escaping with only their lives under the leadership of Moses. And now, here we are, on the other side, so to speak, on the shores of safety, heading for the promised land, flowing with milk and honey. And they lived happily ever after. Except the cheers of freedom and songs of praise to a God of deliverance and mercy have just barely died down before we encounter the people of Israel where they are today, not so happily ever after. In fact, full of complaints about where they are, where they're going, and who is leading and feeding them. You may be asking yourself the same question I am asking. Really? Really? God has literally parted a sea of water for you, brought the children of Israel out of slavery and oppression. Miriam, Moses' sister, leads a group of women in song and dance, glorifying God for their enemies' demise and their sweet liberation. But the celebration is short-lived. Soon, the whole congregation of Israel is whining about being led into the wilderness. Why didn't God let us die in the comforts of Egypt, where we had spiced meat and all the bread we could eat? You've brought us out into the wilderness to starve us to death, the whole company of Israel. Have you ever heard a story about the good old days, only to find out that they really weren't as good as they are being remembered to be? Memory is a funny thing, often causing us to see those golden days through rose-colored glasses, when in fact, they weren't so golden or rosy. We do that a lot, don't we? Complaining about the present is so often fueled by and accompanied by romanticizing the past, because the now isn't living up to our expectations. And we've got a lot of expectations. This is the case with the Israelites. Suddenly, they're remembering life in Egypt as if it were a 5-star hotel and spa. Remember the comforts of Egypt? The spiced meats, the all-you-can-eat bread buffet. Did I miss something? We've read the account, we've heard the pleas, and it was absolutely not a luxury experience. In fact, it sounded pretty brutal, so much so that they had to cry to God to set them free. But they have forgotten all that, and they have replaced gratefulness with grumbles, and celebration with complaints. Now, in their defense, while they have been rescued from slavery in Egypt and are heading toward a land where they are promised they would be free, they first have to make it there, which requires a lot of time in some pretty treacherous terrain, including some where food was scarce. "You've brought us out into this wilderness to starve us to death," they cry. But what the Israelite people are missing is that God has not abandoned them, nor does God have any plans to starve them to death. In fact, God has been providing all along, not in the ways they might like, but providing nonetheless. But as we know all too well, sometimes we lose sight of the simple bread when all we're hungry for is that spiced meat. We overlook those small sips of water when we are searching for the flowing streams of abundance. Moses, the leader of the group, whom I kind of imagine as the father in the front seat of the car full of kids asking, "Are we there yet?" has had just about enough of the complaining. So he pulls the car over, so to speak, and confronts them, saying that who they are really complaining about is not him and Aaron, their human leaders, but about God and God's faithfulness. But the people are hungry. You know how you get really upset about something so minor and significant that it's really clear that you're actually upset about something much bigger and much deeper? I think we can pretty much be assured that the Israelites aren't just complaining about a lack of food, but what they are really complaining about is a lack of predictability, a sense of vulnerability that they feel out in the wilderness with no real plan, no sense of how long the journey will take and where exactly they will end up. They are so desperate for security that it seems that they would rather go back to the way things were on the other side of the Red Sea, even though it was awful, because at least it was familiar and they knew what to expect. Where they are now is uncharted territory, wild wilderness full of unknown. Now that's a wilderness that sounds familiar, doesn't it? How many of us are longing for a plan these days, praying that at least some part of the way ahead might be illuminated for us? How many of us want to stop the train and get off, or stay up at night wondering just where the journey that we have been on, which, by the way, is way bumpier and way longer than we ever thought possible, where that journey might be taking us? The Israelites are hungry for food, yes, but like us, they are also hungry for stability, for hope, for a sign to keep walking. Whether in reference to recent pandemic days or other wilderness experiences in our lives, all of us know what it feels like to be standing in dire need of God's nourishment, God's bread to fill us and accompany our wine, needing God to guide, to provide, and to abide. God's provision in our lives sometimes comes in creative, unexpected ways, ways that don't suit us or that we might overlook because of their simplicity or subtleness, or sometimes in ways that, quite frankly, annoy us and make us mad, or at the very least, confused and frustrated. And because of that, God's provision often requires a bit of a shift in our perspective. Sometimes the requests we make to God are not answered in the ways we might wish them to be. And sometimes we just need to adjust our viewpoint, our attitude, our perspective, to realize that what we want isn't always what we need. Sometimes, particularly in the whiny wilderness moments, we are praying for predictability and spiced meat, when God wants only to provide us with bread, the basic, dependable stuff of life, so that we might know and taste God at the simplest, most foundational level. God is a God of relationship, of covenant. And he had called these folks in Exodus, even in the middle of a quite literal wilderness time in their lives, to be faithful, to take their relationship with God seriously, to be willing to follow directions, to follow what God had called them to do. We don't just get to sit idly by and wait for God's provision to land in our laps. We are in this together with God, and merely grumbling and complaining does not get us anywhere, near as far as actual steps towards bettering our relationship with God and others. So, even in God's abundant love for us and willingness to provide, we are still called to do the work, called to keep walking, to accept the hand that is reaching out to us with the bread we need. God reminds Moses and Aaron and the Israelites and all of us that faithful participation in our covenant with God means having faith. It means trusting God, building our relationship with God and with one another, listening for God's voice and instruction and following it. It means not just sitting and whining and waiting, and it doesn't mean hoarding all the manna for ourselves, but a willingness to meet God halfway. When I read this account from Exodus, there is a part of me that wants to scream. Come on, folks. I know these can't be easy times, but the God who is leading you is the same God who showed up in a pillar of fire to lead you away from captivity. The God who provided water in the wilderness is now saying that you will have enough food to not only keep you going, but so that everyone will have their fill. Perhaps a little change in perspective would be fitting, a little gratitude, a little contentment. But as much as I want to judge and scold, I think perhaps what strikes me most about this passage is just how true to form these Israelites are, and how much I and all of us are just like them. We all get hungry. We can be hungry for a lot of things. Hungry for love, for forgiveness, for acceptance. Hungry for someone to see us, to hear us. Hungry for someone to guide, provide, and abide. Hungry for predictability, for an end to the madness, for things to go back to normal. I certainly think that is the case with the Israelites, and I certainly think that is the case for us. The Israelites ask the question, what is it, when they saw the manna that God had rained down covering the ground, as though they didn't recognize the hand offered to them? In our hunger, in our fear, in our preoccupation with finding our own nourishment, we so often miss the manna, do we not? We so often miss God raining bread from heaven. In her writing, Bread of Angels, Barbara Brown Taylor writes these words. What makes something bread from heaven? Is it the thing itself or the one who sends it? How you answer those questions has a lot to do with how you sense God's presence in your life. If you are willing to look at everything that comes to you as coming to you from God, then there will be no end to the manna in your life. Nothing will be too ordinary or too transitory to remind you of God. The miracle is that God is always sending us something to eat. God gives the true bread from heaven, the bread that gives life to the world. You see, the Israelites didn't starve in the wilderness. God heard their complaints and their cries and sought to remind these beloved people that they were seen and heard, that they were loved, that they were being guided, provided for, abided with. And so there was manna, bread from heaven, God's promise made real, God's concrete, tangible covenant, God's food for the journey. We may not be wandering around in the actual wilderness, but in a sense, we kind of are. And it may not be raining bread from heaven, but if we can adjust our eyes and our hearts to see it, it surely is raining. Raining grace, raining love, raining hope. The question we must ask ourselves is this: will our exasperation, will our annoyance, will our tight grip on our plan or our idea of how this journey should have gone, will our wine get in the way of allowing God to fill us with bread, manna from heaven, with the nourishment, the sustenance, the provision we need to make it through these challenging days? Though it is a pretty simple message, the good news this day is that when we are hungry for whatever it is our spirits are growling for, God provides. When all we bring is wine, W-H-I-N-E, to the table, God brings the bread, always. God promised that there would be enough for every Israelite in that wilderness, and there is still enough for us in the wilderness of these days. May it be so. Amen.